There's a very familiar story about the tortoise and the rabbit entering into a race. And the rabbit started the race with a dash. But at a certain point, the rabbit got a little bit complacent and decided to sleep under the tree. The tortoise, on the other hand, moved very slowly into the race. But then it was making very constant progress as it moved steadily. And finally, the story goes that the tortoise crossed the finishing line and won the race. Slow and steady, he won the race. Now, which of these two characters best reflect our spiritual growth today? Are we like the rabbit, initially all hyped up, reading the Bible, praying, loving and serving one another? But then, now we decided to sleep in our spiritual life, not making any progression. Or do we identify with the tortoise? Although there are limitations, we are still growing, making progress, enduring towards the finishing line. Well, whichever character that you identify with, God's word to us today is to draw near to Him in faith, hold on to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and to love one another. Now, we heard in our series in Hebrews that the congregation in the book of Hebrews was going through a very difficult time. They are facing persecutions from all fronts, and they were tempted to let go of their faith, the hope that they had, and the love which bind them together as a community. And the biblical author has been encouraging them throughout the book by showing them who Jesus is and what He has done for us. In the first four chapters, we heard how the biblical author showed us how Jesus is superior to everything in His person. And then from chapter 5 right up to chapter 10, our passage, He shows us how Christ is superior in His priesthood. And in our passage today, right up to the end of the book, our biblical author will be showing us the practical outworking of our faith. In other words, what we know ought to inform how we live. And there are three practical outcomes that should arise out of believing who Jesus is and what He has done for us. And these three applications is seen in our passage today in the form of three exhortations, beginning with this phrase, "Let us." In verse 22, the author tells us, "Let us draw near to Him." And then in verse 23, "Let us hold fast to the hope." And then in verse 24, "Let us consider how to stir one another to love and to good works." But first, is it even possible for sinners like us to draw near to a holy God? How did we inherit such incredible hope that is beyond this world? And why can we love one another? Now, if we look at verses 19 to 21, it tells us how Jesus has made this possible by two vital truths. And these two truths are introduced by the word "since." Verse 19, "since we have the confidence." And then in verse 21, "since we have a great high priest, a great priest." Let's look at verse 19 first. It tells us that since we have confidence to enter the holy places, in other words, the holy presence of God. Now, the word "confidence" here can mean boldness. And the confidence is possible because it is as though someone has authorized you and given you access to enter. I remember many years ago, I received an invitation from the Istana to a Boys Brigade event. Now, when I reached the front entrance, the security stopped me. But then when I showed the invitation card that says the President of Singapore would like to invite you, and my name was in their books, in their records, they quickly allowed me in. And I had free and uninterrupted access to one security point after another, and finally to the inner hall where the President was residing over the ceremony. That invitation card from the Istana office gave me the confidence and the boldness. It gave me free access to the inner parts of the Istana and where the President is. Now that is what our Lord Jesus has done for us at the cross on Good Friday. Before Jesus came, we have no confidence whatsoever to enter before or in the presence of a holy God. There was no such thing as a direct access to God. We heard that drawing near to God, first of all, you need a sacrifice. And then you need a priest to be your mediator to make that sacrifice for you. And we cannot come to God on our own terms. It must be a sacrifice of blood. Something has to die to redeem us from sin. And even so, we cannot be totally confident that that would work. Because we heard earlier, in the earlier sermons, that those old way of sacrifices and the human priest, at its best, is but shadows and copies of the real thing. They are but temporary measures, and we need to repeat them over and over and over again. And no one can enter into the holy places in the temple. In the Holy of Holies, only the high priest can go in, and even that once a year. And there is this thick curtain that blocks all the worshippers and the other priests from entering the Holy of Holies. It would be unthinkable for a Jew to think that he can go past that curtain into the very presence of God. And that curtain is there to remind us, to remind the people of God to back off. We cannot come close and near to a holy God. No one had the confidence or the authority to draw near to God. But in verse 19, it says that we now have confidence to enter into the holy places. It is like we have this 24/7, 365 days, free and unlimited pass to God. Someone has authorized us. Someone has given us that confidence that, hey, you now can go into the Holy of Holies. You now can enter into the very presence of God. We can now have a relationship with God, not that of a sinner, but that of a father and a child relationship. And there is no more that need for sacrifice or priest. Now, how was that possible? In verse 19, it tells us that we enter by the blood of Jesus. And then in verse 20, it tells us that Jesus has made it possible by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, through his flesh. What all this means is that our confidence comes from what the Lord Jesus did for us on Good Friday at the cross. His blood satisfied the penalty that God imposed on sin and provided for our forgiveness. And because Jesus became our sacrifice, we have the confidence to draw near to God. Now, another reason why we can draw near to God is because verse 21 tells us that we have a great priest over the house of God. The book of Hebrews is the only book in the Bible that says a lot about the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the priest who sacrificed for our sin. He is the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And this priest is forever, our Lord Jesus, at the right hand of God, interceding for his people. So these two vital truths tell us why we have the confidence to draw near to God. And that is because Jesus was our sacrifice and he is our priest. And so when God looks at us, he knows that sin has been dealt with by his Son. Oh, church, I'd like us to look back at Good Friday once again. This confidence or this access or this invitation to draw near to God is not to be taken for granted. It is not free. It was purchased by a very dear, in a very dear price. And this access that we have to God was bought with pain and suffering, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we let the magnitude of God's love and what Jesus did for us at the cross, let it sink in our minds and in our hearts, then we ought to cherish this faith. We ought to follow Christ faithfully. We can never do anything to buy our salvation, but there is something that we can do, and that is to respond to God's grace, to respond to what Jesus has done for us. And what is this response that God desires? How can we live in response to what Jesus has done for us? In verses 22 to 25, it shows us three ways we can make a response to the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And each of these responses is marked with this phrase, "Let us." Let's look at the first response. In verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Let us draw near. The word "draw near" in the original language is in the present continuous tense. What it means is keep on doing this. Keep on drawing near to God. And that is God's invitation to us. Keep on drawing near to me. And what a privilege that is. It wasn't possible in the first place, but Jesus blaze the way, open up the way by being our priest and our sacrifice. And the attitude that we ought to carry, as what the verse tells us, is draw near with a true heart. Now, a true heart basically means a sincere heart. It means to have a heart that is loyal to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are many things and many situations that can draw our hearts away. You may be in a challenging environment like NS, where it's hard to be a Christian. There is the challenge and the temptation of materialism. There are the distractions. There is this online entertainment that can take up all our time, addiction. But remember, and the Lord calls us, draw near to him with a sincere heart, a true heart, that our first loyalty is to our Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us. And in James chapter 4, verse 8, it encourages us, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So how exactly do we draw near to God? Well, it's not rocket science theory, or there's no magic formula to this. We can draw near to God through very simple and basic spiritual disciplines like reading the Word of God and having that life of prayer. You know, we are in this COVID-19 situation, and in this situation, it could prevent us from drawing near to God, or it could be a golden opportunity to draw closer to God. And it all depends on our attitude and our priority. Now, if our only intake of God's word is only when we go to church, then this situation will prevent us from drawing near to God, growing in our faith. You know, like the hearers in the book of Hebrews, we will drift away. If our definition of drawing near to God is just coming to church, listening to his word, then this situation will be very challenging to us. And we will slowly drift away if we don't make an attempt to draw near to God. Now, in the later half of this chapter, there is a very stern warning about falling away in verses 26 and 31. But this COVID situation can also well be an opportunity that we can draw near to God, individually and as a family. You know, most of us have to stop commuting. There is no social gathering. Even ministry have to cut back meetings. And what that means is that we probably have more time and space to grow. And one of the fundamental ways to draw near to God is through our daily quiet times. One of the things that I've undertaken to do is to read and reflect on the prayers in the book of Psalms. And as I digest what I read, I also write our weekly devotion in the prayer list. And I want to encourage you to use the prayer list for your devotion and prayer guide. Now, our church Instagram, the Instagram team is also going to touch up the devotional and present it with art and illustration and post it in our church Instagram. And you can follow the Instagram, our AMKPC Instagram, to get the illustration of the devotional. And you can also use our prayer list as a prayer guide on what to pray. I'm very impressed by one of our young adult, Zion, in his Instagram posting. Zion was baptized in our church last Christmas, and he shares his reflections through his drawing on Instagram. There's also the sermons recently at the Holy Week convention. I listened to it, and it's very thought-provoking. The point is, we have many resources that can help us draw near to God. Use them in this situation to draw near to him. You know, my laptop battery is getting weaker because it's getting older. It cannot hold on for very long. A lot of times I find myself doing something in the midst, and then suddenly it shuts down. And what it means is that I have to connect it to the power source to charge it up. And once it is connected to the power source, it is charged up and it will keep on going. And that is true for our spiritual life also. Our batteries will wear off if we don't connect to the power source. We won't be able to draw near to God if we don't make it a priority to connect through reading the Word of God and prayer. And we thank God that there are varieties of ways we can do that. So let's charge up our faith in this situation and connect, draw near to God. That is God's invitation to you and I. The first response we can make in response to Jesus' work on Good Friday is to draw near to Him. And it is as basic as setting aside the time to read God's word and to pray. Now, the second exhortation is in verse 23, and this is what the biblical author says: "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Now, the idea behind this word, "hold fast," is as though there is some danger or difficulty. Something is trying to pull us away. And the author tells us, hold tightly to it. And for the Hebrew Christians, they were under the threat of persecution. This is pulling them away. Now, perhaps some of us are facing persecution of some sort for becoming a Christian. Perhaps we are facing the pressure of being conformed to the world. It's easier to blend in with the environment at work, at school, at NS, than to hold fast and to stand up for Jesus Christ. You don't want people to think that you are some kind of a religious freak. But the author tells us to hold fast to this hope. Why? Because this is something eternal. And I shared in an earlier sermon in Hebrews 6, the content of the Christian hope. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ includes our eternal life with God, being part of the new heaven and the new earth, the redemption of our bodies, and the hope of Christ's return. And this hope is sure and steadfast, like an anchor to our soul. And it is anchored because Jesus has anchored it by becoming our forerunner in overcoming death and being risen from the dead. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, Easter tells us that we too have this hope, that God will raise our bodies from the dead when Christ returns. So hold fast to that. Whatever that we see in this world is just temporal. It doesn't last. But hold fast to what is eternal. Hold fast to that hope. Draw near to God. Hold fast to the hope. And the third response that we can make to what Jesus has done for us on Good Friday and Easter is in verse 24. And this is what it says: "And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as some is in the habit of, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, the author tells us, let us consider. The word consider means that you and I must give thought to it. And it won't happen. It is not automatic if we don't consider or give thoughts to this. It requires effort. Our human inclination is to always consider our own needs. My need is not met. The church is unfriendly and unloving. But the exhortation here is consider how you can encourage others in the body of Christ. And that means that we have to take the focus out of ourselves and think of others. And the context where this love and good deeds take place for this passage is within the faith community, within Ang Mo Presbyterian Church. How can we stir one another in love and good works? Now, in this COVID situation, there will be lives and livelihood that will be affected. Perhaps some of our brothers and sisters will be in need and need help. I'm very encouraged to hear some thoughts about donating the $600 solidarity payment to brothers and sisters in need. You know, in this situation, let us look out for one another and extend that hand of help where we hear of needs. And if you sense a brother or sister who is lonely or depressed or sick in this situation, take the initiative to offer help. A simple phone call or a personal WhatsApp of encouragement goes a long way and it will make someone's day. Now, the author adds that this ministry of love and good works includes not neglecting to meet together. And this COVID situation does not allow us to meet physically, and we must follow the advisory to stay home and stay safe. But we can still meet through online platforms and to encourage one another. And basically what verses 24 and 25 call us to do is be our brother or sister's keeper. Encourage one another. Check in on one another. And if you sense someone falling out, drifting away, not joining perhaps the online cell group meetings, you know, take the initiative to check in on this brother or sister. Hey, how are things with you? Are you coping well? Is there something I can pray for you? You know, brothers and sisters, if we let people isolate themselves, whether the person is a child or a youth, a young adult or an adult, you know, that person will slowly drift away from God. So let us consider how we can love one another through good works, practical help. Let us keep a lookout for our brothers and sisters who are probably in need. You know, there is this tree called the redwood trees. The redwood trees are located in California, and they are some of the biggest trees in the world. They can be 80 meters tall, 7 meters in diameter. And some of these trees could be as old as 2,500 years old. Now, we may think that something of such, so big and so huge, will probably have very deep roots that enables it to stand tall. But that is not the case for this kind of tree. You know, the redwood trees have a very unique root system. Their roots are actually very shallow. Although they are 80 meters high, the roots can only go down at most 2 or 3 meters down. But yet, these trees will not fall over. They can withstand strong winds, earthquake, fire, storms, and floodings. Now, how can something that is 500 tons, reaching over 80 meters, live through many centuries, remain standing with roots only going down to 2 or 3 meters? The secret behind the redwood trees is they don't survive alone. They form tribes and communities. Their root system is such that they intertwine with each other. The redwood trees need different redwood trees in the same areas. And their roots will connect with each other. They will grow close to each other and be dependent on each other. And together as their roots intertwine, they have the strength and the stability to support one another. So beneath the surface of these tall and strong trees are roots like an army of people with arms interlocked, standing and supporting one another. The church is like these redwood trees. We cannot stand alone. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to be the interlocking roots. And with one another, we can stand the enormous weight of life. And we need to interlock with each other. And that happens when we stir one another to love and good works, and not neglecting to meet each other. Our church, we hear this sermon, and as a response to God's love on Good Friday, and the hope that we have on Easter, I'd like us to think through prayerfully each of these three exhortations. Which one do you need to apply most today? Do you need more consistency in drawing near to God in faith? And this is very important because it is the foundation of the other two. If our drawing near to God is weak, then it's going to be difficult for us to hold on to hope and to love others. Perhaps your need is to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And all of us can play a part on how to stir one another in love and good deeds. Who can I encourage in my cell group or in church today and this coming week? Now, I'd like us to take some time to think through specific ways that we can grow in each area that is mentioned in our sermon today. Good Friday and Easter demonstrates how much God loves us. Jesus has secured our salvation as our sacrifice and our priest. He has given us the full confidence to draw near to God. And he tells us, keep drawing near to God. And what a privilege that is. It used to be we cannot do this, but now we have this direct access to God. And our passage also exhorts us to respond. Draw near to God. Hold fast to the hope that Jesus has secured for us. Don't let it go. This will last for eternity. And while we wait for this hope to realize, let us encourage one another, love one another, by stirring up one another to love and through good deeds, not neglecting to meet together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word in our situation today, Lord. We thank you for Good Friday, what Jesus has secured for us. We thank you for Easter, that you call us to live as your people. And because Jesus is our sacrifice and our great high priest, we can draw near to you. We have this confidence, Lord, that you accept us, that we are your children. So let us, Lord, hold fast to the hope that we have, not be distracted by the world and what it offers, but for what we have is eternal. Remind us always to hold tightly to this. And Lord, help us to also be sensitive to look beyond ourselves to the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. That together, Lord, we can, as a faith community, draw near to you, hold fast to the hope, and love one another. Enable us, Lord, to do this, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.